بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Surah Al-Adiyat is a surah most of us know by heart. We recite it in our sunnats or nafil salah. The maqsad of this majlis is not to explain the tafsir of Surah Al-Adiyat, but it is to take an important lesson from the surah so that we may bring this in our life, we may ponder, reflect, sit back and see what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussing in this particular surah and how it applies to us in our lives and what is the important theme and message in the surah, especially for us in these times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I so many bounties, so many ni'mats that we enjoy on a daily basis at this very moment with the heat that we experience. But Allah has provided us so much of comfort that we are sitting with the aircons on so we don't feel the heat. Allah has provided for us food, drink. Look at all those war-torn countries. What sacrifices they go through. What pain. Food and drink is not something that is so easily available for them. We know the condition in Gaza. Even those tents are not so solid and strong that when there's a heavy wind, the gust of wind, it blows those tents away. Masoom children, the mothers, all have to hold onto those poles to hold the tent down. Food also is hardly accessible to them, and so many other places in the world. And Allah has given you and I so much of rahat, so much of comfort. Allah has given us food, drink, clothing. We have variety to choose from. We have so many types of clothing that we have in our cupboards. Our mothers and sisters have so many abayas and cloaks, so many pairs of shoes, and so much of comfort we have in our homes and in our cars and in our business places. The question is, that are we being loyal servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? That is the question you and I should be asking ourselves. We find that all of us know what are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. We know what are the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this is right for us, this is wrong for us. Yeah, there may be something new, that new masail or something new to us that has occurred to us for the first time. Maybe something pertaining to some masala with zakat or transaction that we have to check with the ulama, the muftis, or sometimes some masala regarding talaq. But in general, we know what Allah wants from us. We know the do's and don'ts. Then why do we find ourselves? So this is the question, myself first. I'm directing this question to myself and all of us. Why do we find ourselves that we still become laxed in our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if a person reflects, he cogitates, he ponders, you see, we know something is wrong, but then there is the prompting of the nafs. And this we have been discussing the past few years now. The state of nafs ammara, that it keeps on commanding us to do evil, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to act against the sharia. So the nafs will keep on casting whisperings into ourselves. Or the nafs will keep on prompting us towards evil. And then we have the whisperings of shaitan. We have the waswasa of shaitan. So these two things. The nafs desires something and shaitan aggravates it. Or shaitan puts this thought and then the nafs begins to follow this thought. The nafs finds some enjoyment in this plan of shaitan. So shaitan will take us away from the dhikr of Allah. And he wants us to go astray. So he will cast some whisperings into our heart. And then the nafs accepts this prompting of shaitan. And the nafs begins to follow this whisper of shaitan. Now if you and I are not going to suppress this evil desire, and if we do not go against the whispering of shaitan, then what will happen? We will become the slave of our nafs. We will follow and give in to the dictates and demands of this nafs and to shaitan. We will be following his way, his footsteps, and obviously that will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How often it is? We know it is not right. Again, the nafs within us wants to get a certain type of enjoyment. So what do? We turn a blind eye. Deep down we know that is incorrect, but we turn a blind eye to that law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will bring different types of arguments to console us and make us feel as though what we're doing is fine, nothing to worry about. And the nafs is moving in that direction. Then we have the pressure of the society, community, family. Sometimes it's the wife at home. Sometimes it's the demands of the children. Sometimes it's the husband demanding something from the wife that is taking her away from her deen. So society, friends, family members, many times, perhaps like in a nikah, we know it is wrong to have music, to have lavish functions, intermingling. We know this. It's not something new. Yet we find that our wedding functions are going day and day worse. We're moving more and more towards the manner of what the disbelievers have adopted for their wedding functions. How often we find we'll have a talk, we'll have a qira'ah, suddenly we find a photographer coming, suddenly we find there's music playing. These are not things that are new to us. Our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Alayhi, in this very masjid, I know how often he would like be crying, pleading to the community to try and bring some simplicity in our life, in our functions, the events that we have, even our funerals. The person just passes away and already we find that we are already ordering the lunch and the supper. We know how it is becoming now, what the trend is. The entire week everybody is coming there. Who is even talking about the mayyit? Who's sending any sawab for the mayyit? It's forgotten. Let us be honest. As men folk, we will go there and we'll be chatting about the business, how things are going on, current affairs, world affairs. Perhaps the ladies may be reading some Yasin or some Quran Khatam. But you and I, it's just after a meal, we're having tea, we're having dessert, we're having... This has become the trend in our community, in our society. Allah talks about in Surah At-Takathur, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Amassing wealth, dunya and all, has made you so negligent of Allah, so much so that even when you visit the qabristan, even there too, where a person is supposed to be taking heed, that tomorrow could be my turn, I could be the next mayyit, and I'll be all alone in this qabr, in this dark qabr, and I have to pray for this life. But even there also we're busy with our cell phone. busy laughing, busy talking, busy meeting. We're not focusing on the Akhirah. We're not focusing on the Akhirah. If you look at the 30th juz of the Holy Quran, surah after surah after surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the horrible conditions of Qiyamah, the horrors of Qiyamah. How people will be running frantically to and fro. Every person will be parishan. On that day to do good deeds is too late. The chance, the opportunity is now. We have become so ghaflat in our way of life. Our children, what type of tarbiyah are we making? Let us be honest. How much are we talking to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The mindset, because of social media, is going to move away and away and away from true deen, from the pristine Quran, from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. New ideas will come into their minds. Believe me, they will not have that azamat for Quran like how our elders have. See in our masajid, it's the elder community reading Quran, making tasbih, dua. Yes, alhamdulillah, we have some youth as well. But generally, the love for ulama, the love for Quran, the love for sunnah, the love for deen, wanting to listen to deeni talks, this is amongst the older generation. They understand the value, the sacrifices that were made in establishing different masajid, madaris, makatib. So my respected brothers and elders and our mothers, it's time that we really, really reflect. It's time that we all need to make sincere tawbah. Shaban is on our doorstep. Ramadan coming very soon, inshallah. Allah give us afiyah, salamati, sihat, to observe these Mubarak months. And believe me, I myself, I'm in most need of what I'm saying. Because of the way everything is carrying on in the world, as though we have been intoxicated by the love of this dunya. Allah has given us an intellect, Allah has given us an aql, Allah has given us intelligence. And this intelligence man has used to make his life in this world so comfortable, and he has manufactured so many things in his world all through the intelligence that Allah has given him. What a great ni'mah this is. Allah has given us food, drink, as I mentioned, and clothing and homes and everything. The logical response to Allah and our attitude and our conduct should be that now we are completely loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not the case. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath on the war horses. Imagine starting the surah. What a way of starting, beginning the surah. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. Allah has taken an oath by the war steeds, the war horses, those that are galloping with a great speed. ضَبْحًا, as they are galloping. We find the horse begins to snort, it begins to gasp for breath, it begins to pant heavily. This is the scene that Allah is depicting right in the beginning verses of the surah. We have to picture the scene. There is a war taking place, and these war horses, on the command of their masters, they are going into the thick of the battle. They are not trotting, they are moving with great speed. Wal-adiyat, this word in Arabic, suggests the speed that these war horses are galloping with. And as they are moving so fast, dabhan, the snorting sound, this panting sound that is coming out of the horse. Fal-muriyati qadhan. And Allah talks about how, because of the great speed, this horse is galloping, the hooves of these horses, it ignites sparks as it touches very swiftly on the rocky terrain. Take two stones and we rub them together, and we find the sparks begin to ignite. Like that, the hooves of the horses, because he is moving so rapidly and touching onto the ground, a very rocky ground, it is as though sparks are coming out. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحًا. And these animals, these horses, they are attacking the enemy, they're invading the enemy. in the early part of the morning. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا. And as it is, as these horses are galloping and moving towards the enemy, they suddenly stir up, or they stir up dust that is blowing now into the air. This is the atmosphere, that there is a war taking place. And these horses are so loyal to their masters. The masters have given them a little bit of food, a little bit of nourishment, but they are prepared to give their lives for the sake of their masters. Amidst the flashing of steel, these weapons, enemies charging, and these horses go right for وَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. They go into the middle of the ranks of the enemy. So Allah depicts the scene of this war taking place and how brave these horses are fighting, because the master has commanded them to go and plunge into the thick of the battle. And the Muslim soldiers, they are fighting and they're going in. And the horses are prepared to sacrifice their lives. And Allah has taken an oath on these horses, showing the greatness of these horses. And then Allah has this message for all of us. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Verily, with great emphasis, Allah is saying, if you look at the construction of this ayah, the words, how they are formed, verily insan is most ungrateful to his Rabb. Allah has given us everything, but look at how we are conducting our lives in this world. We pick and choose things which are easy in deen, we will bring it about in our lives. And what has happened today in society? We become so judgmental. And there's so much of discrepancy in our lives. When it suits us, then we point fingers at the whole world. And the same wrong we do, we just push it under the carpet as though nothing happens. In our gatherings, in our functions, when we meet at home, what are we talking about? She did that, he did that. They are like that. Those people have done that. But look at our business dealings. Look at the fraudulent dealings that so many people are involved in. Look at the manner in which we deal with society, the rights that people have over us. How often we are shirking in our responsibilities and duties. Again, everybody seems to be happy, whatever little they're doing, and that is the deen for them. We don't realize that Allah wants complete allegiance, complete loyalty from our sides to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, I am addressing myself. What happens today? If any person says any good, and he says it sincerely, then we will wait for him to make a mistake so we can point fingers at him. But in reality, what is it? We want to find some weakness so that we don't have to practice on deen. My respected friends and elders, let us be honest, genuine, sincere. We all make mistakes. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, we should always say, eat well, drink well, live comfortably. Allah is not saying that give everything up, but stay away from sins. Stay away from those things that Allah is becoming naraz with. We know it is wrong, so stay away from it. What is right, we must bring it in our lives to the best of our ability. Yes, we will make mistakes. Sincere tawbah, istighfar, person who did not know, he did something, somebody showed him, he realized his mistake, he missed tawbah, istighfar. But when we know what is wrong, and then we just don't care about it, why? What people will say? So we worry more about society than what Allah and His Rasul is saying. So Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. The word kanood in Arabic simply means to be ungrateful, not to show true appreciation. There was a person in the books in Arabic, in history, we find the word kindah. Kindah has been derived from this kanud. Kanada. Why? They say this particular person became very famous, but he was ungrateful to the kindness and favors his father bestowed upon him. He never showed shukr to his father to such an extent. In the end, he departed, he left his father. So he was given this name as Kinda. Kanud, where a person holds back the rights of others also. يَمْنَعُ الْحَقِّ. Person who is bakhil, miserly, also falls under the word kanood. But the broader meaning of kanood is to be ungrateful. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that man counts all the musibat, all the masaib, all the difficulties that he goes through in this world. يَعُدُّ الْمَصَائِبُ. You know what, this problem I have, this sickness, that problem at work, at varsity, or madrasa, or school, and this is happening, and everything, one after the other. We will enumerate all the hardships that we're going through, and the trials and tribulations we're going through, and the musibah that has come upon us. وَيَنْسَى نِعَمَ اللَّهِ. But the person forgets how many bounties he's enjoying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we ignore. And therefore Allah reminds us again about those war steeds, those war horses. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. In fact, in the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. is mentioned, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِهِ مُعَافًا فِي جَسَدِهِ عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَذَافِيرِهَا. That person who wakes up in the morning and he has the following three qualities or three conditions. The first one, aminan fi sirbihi, fi nafsihi. He is secure, he is safe regarding himself, waqila qawmihi, or his family. And one, some ulama say, aminan fi sarbihi, sarbul min tariq. So he's got peace, safety in his pathway. So we wake up in the morning, for example, we come into the masjid. When you wake up in the morning, you have got aman, you have got no fear regarding yourself or your path. So you got aman, aminan, you are amin, you've got aman, you've got safety, security, number one. Number two, mu'afan fi jasadihi, he's got good health, he's got afiyat regarding his body. Allah save us, he doesn't wake up in the morning blind, he doesn't wake up in the morning with a stroke. So he's got good health, or a fairly good health, and in the qutu yawmihi, he's got sufficient food for the day, not for the month, not for months, not for the year, sufficient food for the day. Rasulullah says, such a person, فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. It is as though the entire dunya has been gathered for him, as though he's the king, as though he's got the whole dunya. Therefore, in another hadith, Rasulullah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحْ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That successful indeed, successful is that person who has brought Islam, Iman, he submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is given sufficient food, and he is content with whatever Allah has given him. This qana'at, this contentment, this shukr, I've spoken previously a very long talk on shukr. And the shukr is not only with our tongues, very important. Shukr, alhamdulillah. We don't even hear this anymore. And I mentioned that time, that there was a time in our families, when after meals we would hear the senior person say, shukr, alhamdulillah. In fact, they should make a dua also. Now there's no shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even by means of our tongue. Let alone shukr in our hearts and our limbs. So true shukr is that we show true allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We made mistakes, make tawbah istighfar. We're not here to point fingers at any person. Point a finger at ourselves. And now let us prepare for the days of the Mubarak days of Ramadan coming. So Allah ta'ala then says that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ الْشَهِيدِ. And man knows that he's ungrateful. He's a witness to it. Deep down in our hearts, we know we're not showing true shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the reason for all this? As I mentioned in the beginning, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Man, he is passionate in his love for Allah, for dunya. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Shadeed means he's intense, he's very severe for his love for dunya, for maal. So this makes him oblivious of akhirat. His whole focus is dunya alone. Obviously, to earn dunya halal is absolutely important. We require this dunya. Therefore, Mufassirin commentators, I said not going to go into tafsir, but it's important to explain this point here. The word khair has been used for wealth. Now, khair means good. Khair is not shar. Khair is not evil. Your wealth has been used, or the word khair has been used for wealth. And Mufassirin explained, because firstly, you need wealth to survive in this world. So there's no problem in that. You need that amount of wealth, and I said, he's got sufficient wealth to survive. You need to pay your zakat, you need to go for hajj, you need to go for umrah, you need to build a masjid, you need to, for your family, you support them. So you need dunya. So it is khair, it is good. However, when a person becomes so consumed with that khair, in getting more and more dunya, that over far above his necessities, now he begins to amass wealth, he begins to hoard wealth, now the love for wealth consumes his entire heart. This is dangerous. Now greed sets in. Now he will indulge in fraud, in cheating, in lying, deceiving. He will do people down. He will not pay his creditors. He will declare himself insolvent. He will let people down. So many things will happen. Why? Because he is crazy for his love for dunya. Come what may, he wants more and more dunya. And other mufassirin say, no, the word khair refers to wealth. Why? Because this is what man generally looks for. In his mind, what is good? It is dunya, wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that khair that you are talking about, you're going crazy for it. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. What is the ilaj? What is the remedy? Allah, then in the next verse, Allah reminds us of the day of Qiyamah. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. This is now what we need to reflect on. Allah first spoke about the allegiance, the loyalty of the horse to its master. Allah then spoke about the bounties Allah has given man, and man is so ungrateful to these bounties. And Allah then talks about the fact that man is a witness to it, but he's so passionate over his love for dunya. And then Allah in the end of the surah tells us about the day of Qiyamah, when the earth will shake and the graves will be upturned. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Whatever is inside the qabars, the dead, the deceased, they all will be flung out of the grave. They'll be scattered in the on the ground. Bodies will come out, will emerge. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And particularly Allah says, whatever was in the hearts of man, whatever intentions they had, whatever evil maladies they had, whatever thoughts they had, whatever things they had in their heart, all will be gathered and everything now will become manifest. Allah is all-knowing. Before we even came in this world, Allah knew our condition. Whilst we were in this world, Allah knew our condition. But Allah says on day of Qiyamah, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Allah is all-knowing regarding the condition on that day. Because on that day, Allah will show every person what this person did. That particular day, that particular night, this was his intention, this was the jealousy he had in his heart, this was the anger he had in his heart, this is the pride he had in the heart. All those things will now be gathered and in front of every person. So Allah is telling us, reminding us that prepare for the day of Qiyamah. Be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite our weaknesses, we are still told to turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat and be genuine in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be loyal. Allah has given us so many ni'mats. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the true sense of the word. Let not our customs become like the enemies of deen. Our thoughts must not become like this. Our mindset must not become like this. Children have gone back to school, they've gone to maktab, madrasa. MashaAllah, they're going to learn again about Quran, Sunnah in the madrasa in the afternoon. Even as parents at home, in the evening, a few minutes, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's be honest, How often do we do it? Teach them proper etiquettes, mannerisms. Simple thing like how a person should enter the toilet and come out of the toilet. About taharat, cleanliness. About sharing our food with others. Being kind, compassionate. Giving, being generous, helping the poor, needy. We need to tell and explain to our children all these things. Otherwise, they spend their time on that cell phone. And they will view all those things that we do not realize will take them far away from a true and pure life towards a morbid and immoral life. May Allah grant me first tawfiq and all of us the tawfiq of being and the ability of being true, genuine to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah conceal our weaknesses and our faults. May Allah give us that contact, that connection with Allah far more greater than the horse, the war steed showed its allegiance to its master. Far more beyond, greater than that. We must have a genuine ta'aluk with the Mawla, our real Mawla, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.